To my amazement, God had provided everything I needed and more. The songs came. They impacted way more people to this day. I mean, I've been retired since, 2010. To this day, I get emails and Facebook DMs and whatever social media platform I'm on, which is only two, I think, now. I get hit up every week from people who share how God used me somewhere, someplace, or my music, or whatever. 2 weeks ago, at Lee Chitwa's 25th anniversary, a member of our church walked up, pulled out a CD. It was an independent CD that I made in 1996. And Valerie had actually made my jacket, and I had that George Clooney Caesar haircut. I looked so good. And I think I only printed like 5,000 of those things. And somehow she got it at a store. And she listened, she's like, oh, this one. And it's just interesting how you never know how God is going to meet your needs. God cares for us. So here's the thing. Peace lives in trusting God to provide. And when you have walked the path of faith, go back and recount those moments. There's times right now when I feel anxiety about the future, about this, about that, and I have to go back in my life and look at God's track record. So here's a challenge for every one of you tonight, or those of you who are listening, driving somewhere or at your home. Take a week and start documenting in your life the many different ways that God has come through for you in your life, and you just watch. And maybe I'll write a song called Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Every place where we worry, every place where we worry is an invitation to trust the goodness of God. And lastly, freedom seeks God's kingdom. If you want freedom from anxiety, you've got to seek God's kingdom. This is what Jesus said in verse 33. By the way, every Christian should have this verse memorized. This should be, this bullet should be in your chamber ready to go. Because I've leaned on this verse maybe as much as any verse in the Bible for my own peace and joy. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, so seek first God's kingdom, his, right? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Freedom seeks God's kingdom. So, Jesus is giving us an alternative to worry and anxiety. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Worry is a self-centered practice, always circling around our own deficiencies and our own gaps and our own fears and the fear of our future. Seeking the kingdom of God is about trusting God's sovereignty and his goodness over all things. It's lifting up our eyes from ourselves and looking on the Lord. To seek means to actively pursue, to chase after. The pagans chase after all these material things for security. But for us, we chased after God's kingdom and his righteousness. And in that we find freedom. And notice the order. Seek what? First. Not after you've secured your career. Not after you've raised your kids. Not after you've built that dream home. Not after all your accounts are filled up with what you hope for. No, the very first thing you should do in your life is seek God first. I thank the Lord that he did his work in me in this area early on in my life. Seek him first before everything else. Jesus is saying this: make the rule of God and the righteousness of God your highest priority, and God the Father himself will take care of everything else. He will do this. That doesn't mean we get everything we want. Some people take this and they're like, well, Lord, I need a Porsche, and I need a Gulfstream, jet. No. This is not it. It's the exact opposite. It means that we're freed from the slavery of chasing lesser things. When you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, a Porsche and a brand new 7,000 square foot house are lesser things compared to knowing Jesus. And the Father promises to provide all that we need. And to seek his righteousness. So when we seek God's kingdom, here's what that means. You're seeking God's interests above your own interests. Your life is about the kingdom first. And then second, it's about seeking his righteousness. Now, righteousness has to do with alignment. So if you want freedom, your life is about God's kingdom, and your day-to-day living is in alignment, not with Christian morality, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word. This is not, I'm not saying go out and try to live a legalistic life. What I'm saying is, here's the thing, you have been made righteous. So for you to live outside of that is to be who you're not. How do you do that? You live a righteous life practically through the power of the Holy Spirit, through submission. And it's letting God's values define your own values. It means God's truth shapes your truth. His holiness shapes your conduct and your internal motivations. And then Jesus gets really practical. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here, Jesus invites us into the freedom of living in the present. Live in the present. Worry almost always projects us into the future. Agreed? What's going to happen? You know, if I did something bad in the past, what's going to happen in the future to me, right? And we live with that worry and we live with that shame because we live in the future rather than living in the present. Listen to what James says. James 4, 14 through 15. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You boast about what's going on tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So when we seek God's kingdom, we are free to live in the grace he gives for today. Not the anxiety that we imagine about tomorrow. Every place where we worry is an invitation to trust the goodness of God in the present, right now. So here's where Jesus leaves us. Every single place where we worry is not a problem for us to solve. It's an invitation to shove the problem to the Lord and trust him. When anxiety creeps in about your children, that's the Father inviting you to trust his goodness about their future. Well, what do you know about worrying about children? Have you seen my life the last 3 or 4 weeks? Kids are getting married and going to college. All my daughters have left the home and stuck with my son. Valerie was, you know, is afraid that I'm going to kill him when we wrestle, you know. I worry about him. He says he wants to go in the Marines when he gets out of high school. I think he's joking. But we joke, but yes, of course I battle anxiety over that. Of course I battle worry. Of course I battle looking at the future. Like, when am I going to die? How's it going to go down? Am I going to go out in the pulpit on the third point, right at the apex of the message? That's my dream. Or am I going to be put in a retirement home somewhere? I mean, these are the things. Guess what? That's not up to me to decide. I live in the present. I can't handle the future. What about my health? Well, you know, it doesn't mean I don't go to the doctor. It doesn't mean I don't take MRIs or x-rays. But in the end, God's got me now. And that's what I need to understand. And that's what you need to understand. Every anxious thought is a chance to seek his kingdom first, to rest in his provision. This is the invitation of Jesus right here. Every place of worry is a place to trust. Every anxious thought is a chance to believe. Every fear is an opportunity to rest in the unchanging goodness of God. I think about how much I love First Baptist Church, how much I love you guys. And then I step back and go, God loves you infinitely more than I could ever love you. Who am I? Like, God cares more about First Baptist than I possibly could. And I'm up nights going, okay, you know, we do this over here, that ramifications, and you know, I'm visionary. I live in the future. I've got it all planned out, guys. Somebody's like, when are you going to do a 3-year plan? 3 years? I've got a 50-year plan for First Baptist. And then God goes, those things are good. It's good to dream in faith, right? But it's not your job to scheme and come up with some tactical thing that's going to make the church grow. No, 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 no. I love First Baptist Church more than you do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'm going to go for a walk with Apollo. Look at some birds and some grass. Every place where we worry is an invitation to trust the goodness. That's where we pull out the root of anxiety in our lives. It starts with fundamental rediscovering of God's goodness. And so tonight we're going to transition into our time of prayer. And I want us to kind of pray through Matthew 6:25. So let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to step into our time of prayer. By the way, how many of you guys got a circle of concern? I love this. I love this document. I think it's one of the most powerful documents we have here. It goes out every week, and it's such a blessing, the amount of detail. When you read it, though, and you're like, oh my goodness, Lord. The ocean's so big and my boat is so small, right? But guess what? This is not for us to worry about. This is us to take to the Lord. And we're only going to be able to take little chunks individually, but altogether, God can make some serious transformation. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So tonight, we're going to lay down our worries before the heavenly Father. How about that? You ready to do that? Anybody worry a little bit? Go ahead and raise your hand before I point at you. You know what? I want you to look at me. Look at me. He sees you. He knows you. And he promises to provide for you. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that we don't have to worry about our survival. Here in America, we have so much, but from so much of the world, a great portion, these are the very things they do worry about. But Lord, we do grow concerned about our health and about our financial stability and about our kids and about our marriage and all the things, Lord. But we thank you for the example of nature, of flowers and grass that don't do anything and yet you clothe them with majesty, and birds of the air that they don't do anything. They're not productive in the sense of storing things up, and yet you take care of their needs. Tonight, Lord, we invite you into our life. We invite you into our circumstances. We invite you into our anxieties. We invite you into our frailties. We invite you into our sinful patterns of behavior that we fight against through your Holy Spirit and your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can just breathe out the worry and breathe in the promises of your word tonight. Pray this in your name. First thing I want us to do is we're going to pray over the health of our folks. You can look here in the circle of concern. And I'm going to keep going in the passage. So Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? God sees your body. He sees your pain. He promises to care for you more than the lilies of the field. Amen? And tonight, we got to lay down our fears, our own personal fears about sickness and aging and the unknown, and trust him to cover us. Does that mean that I'm still going to go keep walking and, you know, try not to eat so much and stay in shape? Of course. But in the end, our future is tied up with the Lord. So tonight, I want you to find five people in the circle of concern. And just what I'd say is look through the names. I mean, there are plenty of names here, plenty of health concerns. And just take a moment and just pray for those five people. Maybe they're people you know. Maybe they're people you don't know. Maybe there's people that the Lord's led you to. But I want you to pray for them specifically right now. Ready, set, go. Let's take a moment and let's pray for those who are battling emotional, mental health struggles too. Those things are every bit as real as physical. Let's pray for those who may not know who they are, but the Lord knows. Let's take a moment and pray for them. Let's pray for those who are caregivers. I know several folks in our church are doing that for their parents. Let's pray for them. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with health. Lord, look at the list, and my heart hurts for every person on our circle of concern. I know there are people who have not put things on, put their names in here. I know there are people who are battling depression and paralyzing anxiety. Never share it because they live with secret shame. We'll pray they'd know they're not shame with you. You care for them. Same grace you give for those who are sick. Their bodies are the same you can do. Emotional areas where we struggle. Pray for those caregivers, God. Give them grace. Lord, we thank you. You're Jehovah, our healer. Pray this in Christ's name. We're going to pray for about the future. So listen to what Jesus says in verse 31. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? All future things, right? For the pagans run after all these things, and how's that working out? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God already knows tomorrow before you get there. Isn't that great? God already knows your future. It's not a mystery to him. So release your grip about tomorrow. Trust his perfect plan. Don't borrow worry from tomorrow. Live in the present. And so one thing I just want us to do right now is just, let's just take a moment and let's surrender our future to the Lord. Let's just let go of the grip and say, Lord, my future is yours, and I'm putting my trust in you. Let's go. Maybe you have family members, close friends that don't know Jesus. Raise your hand if you do. Maybe there's somebody that's close to you that you're worried about whether they will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Raise your hand. Take those people and pray for them right now. Let's pray for the future of our church, that we both have spiritual growth, and we also have salvation growth. Amen? Let's pray for that right now. Father, we lay our future down before you. We don't know what holds the future, but we know that you. We don't know what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future. We pray for our friends and family members that don't know you. God, convict them of their need. Use us, Lord, as your workers in the field to sow the seeds of the gospel in their lives. Give us opportunities. We pray for our church. May we grow both in spiritual maturity, love, and joy, and compassion, faithfulness. And we pray for salvations. And all the seeds that are being sown and all the ways you're watering the seed, that you would provide the harvest for your glory so that this community would know that you are the God of salvation. Pray all this in your name. Well, let's pray for finances. I know this is an area that none of us ever have any anxiety about. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God delights to provide for his kids. Parents, we got parents? Raise your hand if you're a parent. How many of you love giving gifts to your kids? I still do. And they're like, oh, Dad, you don't have to. I'm like, oh, I have to. I have to and I want to. I love it. He delights that. He doesn't withhold what we need. So let's let go of financial fear. Let's fix our eyes on his kingdom. Trust him to supply what we lack. So first prayer is just surrender your financial situation to God. Whether you have abundance or lack abundance, surrender that to him right now. Go. Ask the Lord to show you how to be the most faithful steward of what he's given you. Today. Let's just pray for our church's finances, that God will continue to bless us and meet our budget needs for this year. We're a little behind. God knows everything. Let's just ask God to continue to bless the resources we have for our church. For a brief moment, I thought that was the music of heaven, and I was shocked. Lord, you're good. We thank you for your provision in our lives. Help us to truly be the very best stewards of the resources you've given us. Whether we think this, we have very little or we have much, we know what you can do. And we pray for our church's finances, Lord, that just give us, may we be the very best stewards of the finances we have. And we know that you financial needs right on time. Pray this in your name. And we're going to pray for family. You know, our vision statement here at First Baptist is life in Christ for every generation. Yeah? Think about that. I mean, that's very familial. You know, we're thinking about grandmas, grandpas, sons and daughters, grandkids, great-grandkids. And let it continue. Let it continue for the next generation. And think about your family for a moment. You may live with disappointment or joy. God loves your family more deeply than even you do. I had to remind myself of that when my daughter got married, that he loves her far more than I do. So tonight I think we just need to surrender our anxiety about our loved ones, trust him with his faithful hands. I know right now, you know, one thing we can pray for is our marriages to be strengthened. So let's do this. Let's pray. If you're married, pray for your marriage to be strengthened. If you're not married, pray for somebody who loves marriage to be strengthened. And then we'll continue. Let's go. For children and the students of First Baptist Church to grow up knowing Jesus. Amen. Let's pray for them. Pray for your children, your grandchildren, grow up and know you. Just where you're sitting right now, you have a prodigal child that's walked away from the Lord. Just raise your hand. Many hands went up. Let's pray for them right now. The Lord would bring them home. Father, we pray for every marriage represented in this room, in our church, Lord, that they be strengthened. But we know that marriages are either growing or dying. There's no middle ground. So, Lord, help us to be ever so faithful in cultivating the ground that of our spouse with love and patience and kindness. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the children and teenagers in our church, Lord, that they grow up to know you, that when they graduate from high school and they face the world, their faith doesn't evaporate, but it's a real faith. We do everything we can to empower them to walk in your truth. We pray for those who we love who have walked away from the Lord. And Lord, I pray that for many of us, we would stop blaming ourselves and just put that to rest and just cry out to you to do what only you can do, and to do a work in our own lives that is so bright and so glory-giving to you that they could not help but to see that you are real. We love you. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lastly, I want us to give some thanksgiving. Because, you know, one of the best ways that you can overcome anxiety is to just praise God and give him the praise. We talked about that last week. We're going to give thanks for our church family. How about that? You know, every good thing in this church is a gift from God's hand. Amen? Tonight, let's just lift up our gratitude. Let's thank him for his kindness and provision. Larry Wortham, every week, every time he sees me, he goes, "You make sure you tell the staff that we have the best church staff in the Southern Baptist Convention. You hear me?" I'm like, "I will. I will." And, you know, when he says that, you know, it's just a resounding truth that we know God has blessed our church with a fantastic ministry team. I'm telling you, I've been on some really great teams, and I'm just so excited. So let's take a moment and let's just thank God for our staff, for those who serve. And I'd say there's not one person on our staff that does not love the Lord, does not truly desire to see his kingdom advance. But let's just pray for them as they come to mind in your mind. We've been blessed to have a whole bunch of new members for the last 18 months. Let's just thank God for them right now. Let's thank the Lord for the baptisms we've seen and God's changing lives. Let's thank him for that. Let's thank the Lord for the unity and love that we have in our church. This is a unique church that has a lot of love for each other, for our world. Let's just thank the Lord that we get to be part of that. Lord, we thank you for our church family. We thank you for staff, Sunday school teachers, our leaders. We're blessed. We thank you for those who are joining our church and pray. We just thank you for them. Thank you for those who are being baptized and the changed lives that we're seeing. Thank you, Lord, for the unity and love we have. We pray for our nominating committee. I thank you for just the quality of people that you've put on that team. Well, we thank you in advance for using them to help identify the next stage of our leadership going forward. Give them wisdom. Thank you for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's stand together and we'll sing a song that you probably know called Because He Lives. So let's stand. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. All fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. My life is worth the living just because He lives.